Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Blessed Savior Lutheran Church on this, the second Sunday after Pentecost. We have a couple of very quick announcements before we begin this morning. First, a COVID update. After talking with the elders, the president of the congregation, and Pastor Vern, the senior pastor, and myself, the associate pastor, there's talk of actually a resurgence of the virus and competing opinions on what is best out there in the world today. There has been a rise because of the circumstances that has been going on in our country, and experts are still very unclear as of what is yet working and what not working, and things are changing each and every day, and sometimes by the hour. For the sake of the health of our members, and we want to err on the side of caution, we will continue to record our services until we get the green light from the authorities, which means that we'll be okay to open up our doors and be able to have everyone here in worship. This is not to say that we can't be the church, however. God has given us the opportunity to live out our lives under any circumstances as kingdoms of priests. We should all be asking God how we can best serve Him as priests and use this time of confinement to find new ways to reach out to the world and love with the love of Christ. Because of also the COVID-19 and how everything has been going on, unfortunately, the Rocky Railway VBS has been rescheduled to the first week of June 2021. The train is delayed, and it will be arriving in the station next year. Our Christian Ed Board is looking for some new Sunday school teachers in the fall because, yes, we are still planning on having Sunday school in the fall. Please prayerfully consider this very important work for our young children. Even if you can just commit only a year, we and the kids would be so grateful. If you are interested, you may talk to Lindsay Sherman and reach out to her, and that'd be very, very appreciated. Also, we encourage you all to watch your emails and our church website for updates and for Bible studies, such as Pastor Vern's ongoing Bible studies on Sunday morning, and my own devotional series on YouTube. So watch our Facebook posts and our website for continuing updates and devotions and Bible studies. That is all the announcements that I have for this morning. So let's turn our hearts and eyes from the business of the church toward our Heavenly Father as we begin today's worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our opening sentences come from Psalm 67. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let us confess our sin that still so easily besets us and receive the full forgiveness of our Lord daily providing for us. We confess together. Lord Jesus, I have sinned times without number and have been guilty of pride and unbelief and of neglect to seek you in my daily life. My sins and shortcomings present me with a list of accusations, but I thank you that they will not stand against me, for all have been laid on your righteous and holy body, crucified for the whole world's justification. Deliver me, gracious Lord, from every evil habit, every interest of former sins, everything that dims the brightness of your grace in me, everything that prevents me taking delight in you. St. Paul writes, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Therefore, upon this, your confession, I, by virtue as a called and ordained servant of Christ, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this peace that we have from our Father in heaven, we now share with those around us.
Justice flow.
Let us pray. O God, our Father, our Creator and Redeemer, by your call, you have made us a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Give us the faith and joy to pray for the salvation of all people and to live holy lives in the forgiveness of our sins. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our worship continues with readings from Holy Scripture.
The Old Testament reading for today is Exodus 19, verses 2 through 8. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses reported the words of the peoples to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 5, starting with the 6th verse. "For while we are still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him for the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest
to send out laborers into his harvest. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Our worship continues with our sermon hymn.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. For 400 years, Israel was living in Egypt as a result of Joseph's betrayal by his brothers in the land of Canaan. After a rough start in the new land, Joseph had been gifted by God with the gift of wisdom and insight. His ability to interpret dreams, Pharaoh's dreams, saved Egypt from a seven-year famine. Joseph rose to become second in command in Pharaoh's administration. But years passed, hundreds of years passed. A new dynasty came to power who didn't know Joseph. So the new Pharaoh saw the growth of the Israelites as a potential enemy, and he enslaved them. The people cried out to God, and he heard them. God sent Moses as an ambassador to Pharaoh to secure the release of the Israelites living in Egypt, but Pharaoh refused to let them go. A battle ensued between the gods of Pharaoh and the God of Israel. 10 plagues later, Pharaoh relented and released the Israelites. You might remember that God prepared Israel to leave hastily during the 10th plague by setting before them a meal, the Passover meal. Pharaoh, his gods, and his magicians had no answer to God's final plague. God had told Pharaoh through Moses that the angel of death would pass through the land, killing the firstborn male of every living creature. And the cure for this plague was that the blood of a lamb would be painted on the doorposts. God would pass over the Israelites who obeyed the instruction of God. But he passed through Egypt with devastating power. Oh, my friends, be ever careful when God promises to pass through. And listen carefully when he gives instructions to protect you from death so that he passes over by his grace. In this critical moment, Israel obeyed and was delivered. But Pharaoh and the people of Egypt did not listen and suffered greatly. The Israelites departed from Egypt and found themselves against the wall of the Red Sea. Pharaoh made one last futile attempt to stop the Israelites from meeting up with their God. God then parted the Red Sea, and the Israelites crossed over as on dry ground. God held the waters back as he did Pharaoh's army. But after they crossed over, Pharaoh's armies tried to pursue to them through the passage God had created. God then released the waters, and Pharaoh's army was completely destroyed. Thus began a long 3-month journey to Sinai, Mount Sinai, where Moses had previously encountered God through the means of a burning bush. Moses, being a faithful servant of God, brought the people to the foot of the mountain where they encamped, and Moses ascended to the mountain. That's the setting for the text today in the Old Testament. What follows seems to be an ancient Near East covenant, a treaty of sorts, where God was establishing himself as the king over Israel. The covenant was between Israel and God. It begins with this historical prologue. The Lord called to Moses out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Clearly, there are 3 points God wanted to underscore answering the question, what exactly did God do for the Israelites? Number one, he rescued them from their oppression in Egypt. He defeated Pharaoh. He defeated Pharaoh's so-called gods. He defeated the magicians. I want you to remember, too, secondly, that the Israelites were helpless. This was not a battle between 2 armies, but between God, the God of Israel, and the so-called gods of Egypt. And God was utterly victorious, while the Israelites were the beneficiaries of this overwhelming strength and power. Secondly, he bore them on eagle's wings. This is a metaphor for God's protection and care. You may recall that while Israel was in the wilderness, not just for those 3 months, but for 40 years, God reminded them later on in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 5, saying, "I have led you for 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. You see, God protected them throughout their journey to the mountain, but God would also protect and care for them through the 40 years that they would travel until they got to the promised land. Thirdly, what God did is he brought the people to himself. The place where he located himself, Mount Sinai. The covenant that God was bringing before the people required actions on both sides. God has done this for his people, and then he requires some stipulations from them. God was promising to protect his people as he had done through the Exodus from Egypt. Remember, he had rescued the descendants of Jacob with no expectations for this glorious deliverance. They cried out, and he heard their cries, and he acted. But he knew that if they were to continue to be the children of God, boundaries would have to be drawn. Without them, without laws, there is only anarchy and the rule of tooth and claw. Today, they would call that the survival of the fittest. So what were the stipulations of the covenant? Quite simply, there are two things. Now, therefore, God says, if you will indeed obey my voice, and secondly, keep my covenant. Obedience to God's voice was the way to keep the community safe within their own boundaries. So God set up guidelines for his people. They would remain in his good graces on a conditional basis, on the basis of obedience to his will and keeping the covenant. Many people believe that God's commandments are too constrictive. They feel that he is denying them the freedom of autonomy, that is, to be apart from God. But one should ask after such a deliverance, is that what you really want? Freedom from God? Freedom from his instruction? Freedom from his protection and care? Could they really expect to turn God into their servant, only calling upon him when the need arises and ignoring him when they have no need? In his great wisdom, God sets boundaries for a reason, and that reason is to protect every member of the family of Israel. For this to happen, they need to respect God's authority, his voice, and they need to keep the covenant. The covenant was accepted on both sides. The people of God will continue to live in peace with God and one another. And that brings us to the next stage of the covenant that God was drawing up. The blessings. There are three major blessings. He says, and you shall be my treasured possession. God had already shown them what it meant when he destroyed Pharaoh's army and carried them on eagle's wings. This was definitely a sign of his protection and care. God was pledging to be their protector from all harm and danger. Just like a young eagle learning how to fly, when it took off out of the nest and struggled to fly, the mother eagle would catch the young bird in flight on her powerful wings. And because the young birds would be on top of the wings, an arrow from below would first have to pierce the mother's breast before hurting her babies. Listen to that carefully. The second blessing involved their new status as a community of God. God said, and you shall be a kingdom of priests. These are words of great responsibility and honor. The priest was the person who stood between God and man. The priest represents both parties. He speaks the gracious words of God to the people, and he intercedes for the people to God in their great need. The third blessing. As a kingdom of priests who always stand in the presence of God, they would be a holy people, a holy nation. They would be set aside for God's purposes, and his purity would cover them with holiness so that they had constant access to the place of the presence of God. There is no higher calling. And God concluded by saying, "These are the words that you shall speak to the house of Israel, bringing them to the response, the opportunity to respond." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This passage was not only instructive to the people of Israel, but it has relevance for us today. Let's review what we've just heard with a light shined on our day. What has God done for us in our spiritual condition? Well, first of all, Jesus, the Son of God, entered our human realm as a man and conquered all our enemies, even the greatest enemy we face, which is death. He died, and 3 days later rose from the grave. Now, in all of human history, who has done this? In the days of Alexander the Great, the mythological gods were appealed to for help in many situations. But Alexander's empire gave way to the Romans. In Jesus' day, the Roman emperors were considered deity. The Roman Empire no longer exists today. No one in all of our human existence to this point has died and come back to life. Not Alexander the Great, not any of the Roman emperors, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith. There is only the risen Christ, who was seen by more than 500 people, witnesses, who saw him before he ascended into heaven. The church's witness from the very beginning was, Jesus is the Lord. Secondly, the application for us. He has carried us on eagle's wings. How so? Hasn't he been our protector? Hasn't he been our caregiver throughout our lives? Hasn't he caught us when we have fallen and gave us perseverance in the face of all kinds of trouble and danger? And finally, he brought us to himself as he brought the children of Israel to Mount Sinai. This did not happen directly by Moses, but by his Holy Spirit who spoke to us through the Word of God. But then we come to those sticky stipulations. Weren't we called to obey his voice and to keep his covenant? Here's where we run into a serious problem. Just like the people of Israel, we love God when it's convenient or when it's helpful, especially when it's helpful. But so often we see his commandments as being obtrusive, too constraining, when we want to go outside his boundaries. We want to be free, live as we please, but also we want to be able to call on him to give us what we want, whether it's good or bad, whether it's good for our neighbors or not. We want our God to be our servant on call. God, go here. God, do this. When we do that, we are actually worse than the followers of false gods. You see, they were worshiping impotent gods. How is it that God has rescued and protected us and blessed us, and yet we have shown often no place for him in our hearts except to use him at our own convenience? I wonder if God ever thinks about passing through our lives with his judgments as he did with unbelieving Pharaoh. And if that is our response to God, what then happens to the blessings of being his treasured possession, a unique nation of priests, and a holy people? You and I know the truth is we haven't upheld our side of the covenant as God's people. We don't deserve the blessings of God. And when the conditions of the treaty are not met, what can we expect? I often hear Christians say when something bad happens in their lives, "I didn't deserve that." Really? Can you honestly look into the mirror and lift your eyes toward heaven and say, "I have listened to the voice of God. I have kept his covenant"? Can we rebellious sinners who have often fallen into the trap of making God our servant expect a good outcome when we have rejected him, his word, and his commandments? And what about his judgments? Yes, those we deserve. But let me tell you what God has done. The answer is found in our epistle today from Romans chapter 5. And Paul writes, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly, you and me. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that," Paul continues, "we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Jesus, the one and only true Israelite, accepted the punishment that you and I deserved. He died so that we might live. He took upon himself our unrighteousness so that we might appear before God as blameless. This is not our doing, friends, but Christ's. Our predicament is greater than most of us understand. We reject God and we see him as our friend. The truth is, when we don't listen to his voice or keep his commands, we have become his enemies, making Jesus' death on the cross even more profound. Did you hear Paul? "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." Out of his great mercy and love, God has restored to us our place before him and the blessings he wishes to bring upon all his people. Because of Christ's work, we are still God's treasured possession. Because of Christ's grace, we are still God's holy people. Oops, I skipped one intentionally. I'm sure you're wondering, as I have often wondered, how do I fulfill my calling as a priest? Here's where I start. As priests, I believe we should befriend sinners of all sorts. That's what Christ did. We should fervently, fervently pray for them. As a priest, we are interceding for people. We should avoid judgment and leave judgment to God. We should, as priests, proclaim the good news winsomely. That means with charm. I love the word, winsome, winsomely. You see, because God so loved the world, that includes everyone. As priests, we need to instruct people in righteous living, keeping the plank out of our own eyes as we teach, being sympathetic for those who struggle. I'm thinking about right now. Right now, we can listen to the cries of the African American community and all people of color. Right now, we can listen to the cries of the poor and the disenfranchised. Right now, we can build up and encourage each other. I believe that's the calling of a priest. Oh, church, what an honor God has bestowed on us. He has restored the blessings. Even when our sins tried to prevent us from receiving them, God still overcame our sins by his Son. He freed us from our sins. So let us exercise the freedom of living for Christ. You see, this is no longer just an ancient story, but it is part of the book that is still being written today. Oh God, help us to be your treasured possession. Help us to be a kingdom of priests. Help us to be your holy nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. We pray for the church and her witness of hope to the world, that in every city, village, and home across the globe, the voice of the Lord may be heard by the faithful preaching of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray for those who labor in the fields of the Lord today, and for the Lord to raise up laborers for his harvest fields, that their work may be blessed, and that they may be protected and defended against the enemies of the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for all who come to the Lord's table this day and throughout the week, that they may receive the Lord's body and blood in faith, and rejoice in his gift of forgiveness, the renewal of their life, and the promise of the eternal feast to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who live under the flag of our nation, for those who govern in this country, and for the causes of peace and justice, that we all may be given a grace and freedom to serve the Lord honorably and in accord with his word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we pray for the hungry and poor, the homeless and unemployed, and the oppressed, that the Lord would grant them mercy, and that we may help to relieve their suffering and want. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, that you, O Lord, would grant them healing, for the wounded in spirit, that you would make them whole, and for the grieving, that you would comfort them, especially all afflicted by the ongoing pandemic and its effects. We also ask those now we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who celebrate the gift of life that you have given to them, especially for Don Geis, Nick Longhorn, and Cale Jackson, who celebrate their birthdays this week. We also pray for all those who celebrate anniversaries, especially for Kirk and Janet Satram, Robert and May Bruns, Jonathan and Melody Hayden, and Pastor Matt and Haley Cush, that you increase their love and devotion to each other, and that they also increase toward you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O blessed Lord, through Moses you called the people to yourself, and from them you delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his sufferings and death, he has redeemed us sinners from our sins, and by his resurrection, he has released us from the fear of death. Help us to live as your own people, doing the good works for which we were created, and praying with confidence the petitions and supplications of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And remember us in your kingdom, Lord, and teach us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you all his peace. Amen. Now go in that peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe. This broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see there is there's only one salvation. Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, Spirit.